This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
I am a mom, and there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will, and it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? Well, we all want to know if in fact you are. I think you are because you're listening to this radio show right here, right now on Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster emanating from Washington, D.C. And of course, we're out here on the left coast. Yes, in Studio 21. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood out here. The sun is coming up. It's now going to be, it's springtime. And boy, is it going to be a beautiful day out here in the West Coast. Okay, so we've got a lot of things going on. We're going to cover, remember, it's Free for All Friday. So we're going to be covering a whole bunch of news from a number of different sources, from Gateway Pundit to Red State Talk Radio to Agenda 21 Radio to NewCaliforniaState.com. Oh, did I say that? Yes, and also the other news outlets as well, from Fox to, we might even dip into CNN. Shocking, as you know, we don't normally go there. Why should we? Anyway, so welcome aboard. Like I said, we have a lot of things going on. You can get a hold of us at agenda21radio.news or 821r.com, and of course newcaliforniastate.com, and the new website that we're putting up, which should be done here shortly, within days actually. We've got 95% of it up right now, and that is ncs51.com. We do have flags that are in, so those of you, I'm putting out the little warning, the flags actually, after weeks of finding flags for New California, they are back in, so deliveries will start immediately. Anyway, so welcome aboard. Like I said, we're going to be covering everything from the president's trip out there to Michigan, and of course, how Michigan has become Californicated. We'll talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to be talking certainly about Gavin Newsom and his perils out here in California. We've discovered that actually Gavin Newsom, by way of a little tweaking of the laws in California back in 2015, has a complete dictatorial coverage right now as a governor. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but there are people that are trying to stop it. Good luck on that one. Anyway, one of the big questions that has always come up with New California is, what about your map? Tell us about your map. How do you get to that map that we have for New California, which shows, especially now, it shows that there's very small California and very large New California. And, of course, the whole map started out that we have right now, the final product, pretty close to being the final product, started out really as a map looking at who's liberal, who's conservative, you know, where are the populations, what are the party preferences, that sort of thing. We looked at a number of different ways to divide up California because we knew that fundamentally there was something completely wrong with California. And, of course, doing the deep dive into the constitutional issues of California, it just revealed everything to us. That in California, which had a constitution that was constructed in 1879, has had its constitution amended over 600 times. Now, the U.S. Constitution has been amended 27 times. And so if you take a look at this, it's like, wait a minute. So at every turn, the people could bring about a proposition. And, of course, that has been done. But it's not the people any longer that's doing this. It's a lot of specialized lobbyists and so on trying to get their way in getting into the money pie. And so California's Constitution has been amended severely over the years. And it's brought us this bureaucracy that we have now. We don't have a real government in California. We have a bureaucracy. And it's the second swamp, if you will, the bureaucracy out here. And how did we get to this bureaucracy? Well, it was staged. It's been staged. It's been progressive in getting us this this bureaucracy out here where you have unelected officials, dishing out mandates. And, of course, we're seeing that right now with the COVID thing, that really nobody has any say or any control over these unwanted bureaucracies, yet they're influencing everybody's lives. They got the state completely on shutdown when it shouldn't be on shutdown. And every doctor that I've talked to, we've done our own analysis, indicates that's the case. So we're in this conundrum, and the conundrum has been driven by the Constitution, which has been, like I said, altered several times. Now, one of the big things that came about in the shocking display of altering actually the entire nation was a decision back in 1964 by the Warren Court, and Earl Warren was the former governor of California. He finds himself being the chief justice on the Supreme Court, and in that decision, Reynolds versus Sims, 1964, they did away with what's called the Little Federal Model for states. The Little Federal Model is, again, with the Big Federal Model, meaning the United States, 50 states within the union. Of course, back then, they had just achieved 50 states back in 1964. But 50 states in the union, every single state is unique. It's unique by population because some states have large numbers of people, like New York and California, and some don't, like Nevada and North Dakota by comparison. So the big debate came when they were making the Constitution back in the 1700s, is that how do we get, equal representation, and how do we get power sharing, and how do we make sure that one part of the legislature doesn't dominate over the other? And so they realized that there had to be two bodies in the legislature of the United States. They started out with just one body, a House of Representatives, but in the Connecticut Compromise, really kind of spearheaded by Benjamin Franklin, they realized that they had to have a body that would share power and have equal power, and then represent the minority opinion. And of course, the minority opinion by population would have been the states, because states are not equal in population. So that was really the big rub. So they came up with the Senate idea. So when this is, as the Constitution was being written, and they said that what a Senate would do would provide, if we had equal number of senators for equal states, then we'd have equal representation in a co-equal branch of government or subset of the government in the legislature. So you got your Senate and you got your House of Representatives. So this whole mob mentality that you just saw actually with Nancy Pelosi could be kept in check. Shockingly, it was kept in check just recently with Donald J. Trump. I mean, the biggest demonstration of how that whole thing worked right there, to show that power sharing and co-equal powers and branches of government checked one another. It was just absolutely exquisitely done. And again, you had basically a dictator in the form of Nancy Pelosi, who had all the votes. She had the majority. Everybody's marching in lockstep behind her, except the Republicans. And they could do nothing in the House. That their hands were tied. But when they did do the impeachment, which they can do, they ran up against Mitch McConnell in the Senate. And Mitch McConnell, to his credit, who I've been majorly critical of for years, Mitch McConnell said, no, you know what? We are the Senate, and you're the House, and we're not going to be affected or influenced in any way because we have equal power with you. And we represent the other states out here. We represent the states, and we represent the minority populations who disagree with you. And so it died. The whole process died in the Senate. After, I know it was a painful thing to see some of the stuff that was being trotted out, but the actual process died. And so in that, we protected and we saved our republic. And that's a key word, our republic we saved. We did not save the democracy. You see, that word is so poorly used because the founding fathers never wanted to have a democracy. You saw the result of a democracy play out in the House. And they knew what a democracy would do. Mob rule is what a democracy is. And so you hear all these people chiding about, we're saving the democracy, we're doing it. We don't want to save the democracy. We want to preserve and save the republic. And we want to preserve and save a republican form of government, which means representative. In fact, if you look at the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, the first charge of the federal government in the clauses, if you read them, Article 4, Section 4 is the federal government must provide a republican form of government. Must provide. They have to by the Constitution. So anybody who takes an oath of office to preserve and protect the Constitution must enable and must preserve a republican form of government. The second part of that is that each state and everybody in it will be free from invasion. And then the third part of it is they're going to be free from domestic violence. Those are the three elements of Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. And you can't back away from that. Anybody who takes an oath of office to the Constitution must do that. And that includes the president. The president must provide for a republican form of government, which in California, of course, we do not have. Now, how do you break down the republican form of government so you get away from that system that was developed back by Benjamin Franklin and the Connecticut Compromise? How do you do that? Well, it's real simple. How do you break it down? Well, you break it down bit by bit by bit. You go to the fundamental governing unit or organization in our nation. You go to the counties. Yeah, if you take a look at the big federal model, like I said, you have the states and you've got the union. You have the Union of States, it's called the United States of America. But a little federal model applies to the states. So the states are subsets of each of the 50 states are subsets. And of the subsets of the states, you have counties. The parallel, of course, would be the counties to the states. So in the subset of the counties in the states, what you have is you have counties that have sovereign boundaries, just like states have sovereign boundaries and borders. Now, the founding fathers said, you know, look, if you're going to play this game of little federal model, then you've got to have representation, equal representation, and you have to have really a bicameral legislature. And today there's one state, Nebraska, that only has a unicameral system. But right, oddly enough, guess what? The left is really pushing unicameralism. Now, unicameralism means you only have one body. Now, imagine unicameralism if you had Nancy Pelosi in charge and you did not have Mitch McConnell. You can see how easily we could turn over this country and destroy it. But that's the way it applies also to states. That's the way it originally was, is that you had the sovereign boundaries of counties, and each county would have a senator that would provide for that equalization, if you will. inside of a bicameral legislature. So when you take a look at 49 states out here right now, every one has a bicameral legislature. It has a Senate and a House of Representatives, or sometimes called assemblies. So that was supposed to balance it out. That was erased in Reynolds versus Sims, the court decision back in 1964. And it said that by population, senators are going to be divided up by population now in every state. So going from counties to districts meant that you had to basically gerrymander and make new districts for senators, leaving behind the sovereign boundaries of the counties. Now, this has led to a lot of problems, the problem being lack of representation, which is exactly why we made the map that we did, because we wanted to reclaim representation. In the state of California, they have 40 senators in the state. Each one has its own Senate district. Now, here's the problem. And this is where we get away from this. You can see the devastating effect. We have some senators that have, are you ready for this, 11 counties that he represents. We have some that have seven, some that have nine counties that they represent. And, of course, where do all the senators go? They all go to the heavily urbanized populated areas of California, which is Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento. In the basin of Los Angeles, you have about 12 million people, and up in Sacramento, you have another 8 million people. So you get 20 million people just in those spots. Now, when we first came up with the original visioning map, which was blue and yellow, we said, well, the coastal places, they've got to be, you know, Democratic, right? Well, when I visited all 58 counties, and I did some deeper research, and we started looking into it, we realized these counties are highly conservative. And of course, the masking issue was the voter fraud, and of course, the control of the media, which was telling everybody that they were using the hegemony of the media basically to project power and authority, which, by the way, was not working. It was not working. And or it started to fail here with Donald Trump. And it did fail, actually, in trying to control somebody like a Ronald Reagan. But keep in mind, Ronald Reagan was just right after the decision of Reynolds versus Sims. Now, another problem, when you got Reynolds versus Sims and then you divided it up by population, you lost that whole ability of the Senate to be co-equal partners in power inside the Senate chamber. So they're all basically one. That's why today, with the party system the way it is, you have a monoparty system in California. And you don't have any restrictions on power between the Senate and the Assembly in California. So you see the breakdown starting to come and starting to crumble. We are in a democracy right now, and that's the problem with California. Now, lack of representation, of course, follows. The counties are not represented by a senator any longer. They're represented by districts, and it's impossible for the senators to give proper representation. So therefore, all the resources gets siphoned off to the urbanized areas. It's a classic situation that the founding fathers did not want and did not envision for this country. So now what we have is a state that has been influenced by Reynolds versus Sims in 1964, but then 1966 comes along, and this is kind of interesting. In 1966, they passed a new proposition that would change forever the course of history for California. Now, you see, California and Texas actually grew up. They both declared their independence from Mexico in 1836. March of 1836 was Texas, and November for 1836 for the Californios, for Alta California. That was the first declaration of independence for California. Now, in this independence process, California and Texas were doing a lot of sharing back and forth. They're still considered republics, the only two republics in the nation, and they're also the two Lone Star states. There's two Lone Star states in the state, in the nation. It's California, which had its big red star, and of course the big white star from Texas. They grew up together fundamentally at the very beginning. And of course, when California wanted to become a state, they adopted many of the constitutional items from Texas. And one of the items in Texas was that the legislature, by constitution, would only meet once every 2 years for 60 days. Now, but along comes 1966, and Jess Undrew runs a proposition saying, we need a more professional legislature. So what that meant was that you could have an unrestricted legislature that would meet for 11 months each year. So you combine Reynolds versus Sims with lack of representation. You combine now, since 1966, a legislature that has been meeting 11 months per year. What could possibly go wrong, right? Well, what has gone wrong is you have a bureaucratic state now. We've gone into a dictatorship, which is exactly by design what they wanted to do. So representation is the key element here. And what we're doing in New California is we looked at the demographics and we said, how do we get parity? Well, you get population parity by saying, well, where's the urbanized areas of California? And you realize the urbanized areas of California are only really in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento. And you take a look at the map in that respect, and you realize that about 85 to 90% of California is rural. It's rural. And so we said, okay, if it's rural, let's make it New California. And what we get, when you take a look at the map and you see all that red, you have a population of about 19.5 million people. And in the yellow, you have 20 million people in the highly urbanized areas. So we have population parity, which is exactly what we wanted to do in the map. And then, of course, the representation from the original map, the blue one, has gone completely away after doing research and going out and speaking and doing town halls all over the state. You realize it's a conservative state, but it's been trashed so badly by the media, its own media, for controlling purposes by Sacramento and by San Francisco. So we get representation through New California in this fashion. We're going to challenge Reynolds versus Sims. And what I mean by that is Reynolds versus Sims has already been challenged by us, because in our charter, we said that we were going to have one senator for every county, period. Now, this is kind of unique, because the last time a state has been brought in under this fashion was 1861, and that was West Virginia. There's only been three attempts before to bring in a new state following this new state's clause, Article 4, Section 3, which says that if you want to become a new state, then what you need to do is get the consent of the legislature or legislatures concerned, and then that of the Congress. And, of course, that was the raging thing that happened with West Virginia. It happened with Kentucky. It happened with Maine. But the big deal is now we're a fourth state coming along, and we're well along in the process for this. We've established in 56 counties, either whole or part of the counties, for New California, and everyone has a senator. Everyone has a senator. We're challenging Reynolds versus Sims, because the last time a state was brought into this union was 1959. Reynolds versus Sims came out in 1964. And what we're doing in this case is we're going to take our proposition. We know that we're going to get approved by the state of California because of their financial condition. We get that. But we're going to take it also to the Congress, and we're going to challenge Reynolds versus Sims right then and there. And we're going to demand our 10th Amendment ability to govern ourselves. So we're assigning, and like we've already done, we've assigned 56 senators to every county in New California. It's never before been done. But, you know, this is the way you defeat Reynolds versus Sims and bring back representation. So the map that we have here represents parity. You can see the populations are equal. What's going to be yielded from this is very interesting. California has 53 congressional seats right now. New California will get 26 of the congressional seats. There's also 55 electoral votes in California, and New California will get 27 of those. You'll divide up the Electoral College here in California, which has 55 seats in it. And it always goes to the Democratic Party. And there's a reason for it, because you have no representation. You have no ability to control whether or not the Republicans can take over. Since 1996, following the Orange County bankruptcy, the California legislature has never been Republican since 1966. And that's all by design when you start to look at it. We know that. We understand that. Anyway, I just wanted to bring this all to everybody's attention about what's going on with New California and how we're getting there, the things that we're doing. And look forward to those that want to find out a little bit more about that. What you need to do is you need to go to Agenda21radio.news, and of course we'll have this on the podcast. Also, we'll put it up on the websites of New California, newcaliforniastate.com. There's so many things happening. It's moving very quickly. We've had 6 constitutional conventions. We declared ourselves independent. We passed 23 resolutions so far. We have more to go. We're going to have going to our 7th constitutional convention in September. And then finally, we're doing the finishing work, or actually the startup work that leads to the finishing work for our own constitution. So we have a lot of work to do. We understand that, and we're really happy to make these things happen for everybody here in the United States. We know that New California is the reality check for every union in the state, because if you get New California to come along, you got New Illinois. By the way, they are mimicking us. There is a New California group. There's a New Nevada group. And there's also the fledgling New York group. And by the way, those of you that are visiting New York, you realize the apple is dying. It's rotting from within. I wonder why. They don't have any representation either. It's worked very well in New York. Because Manhattan, guess what? They've got all the senators. Urban versus rural. Stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat. and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821R.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Newcaliforniastate.com, the state of the future. There's no doubt about it. Okay, here we go. Let's talk a little bit about, well, the things happening in the world. You know, it's kind of like, where do we go from here, right? It's real simple. We go from here to get to there. You know, I just made that up. Now, I know that somebody else has already done something like that somewhere, but I just, you know. All right. You know, listen, this could be the great haircut day for me. Hippie days are over. Again. Haircut for me. I mean, you know, look at what they're doing to it. The psychological head tripping going on here by these folks, you know. If you haven't seen it already, there is a thing going around Gateway Pundit. I got this yesterday, actually, during the show, and I didn't broadcast. I just was furious when I saw it. And, of course, you probably have seen this, somebody in elder care in a home being beat down by the staff there. Just pummeled, you know, just, you know, without mercy. I mean, just merciless. And it's really, really sad state of affairs when we see things like that. I hope this individual goes all the way to jail for a long time. And he's going to. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But it shows you the level of what's going on in nursing homes today. And again, elder care, which is so important to everybody. That's called elder abuse, by the way, just like child abuse. And certainly, if you're a caregiver and you're in that position, you have certain fiduciaries that obviously when you beat a man down, a helpless man, you know, somebody who can't protect himself, that shows you what the measure of who that human being is. If you want to call him a human being, I don't even think he's remotely close to being called a human being or acting like one. Anyway, it's very irresponsible. I just wanted to make that editorial. We have the story out there. I'm not real predisposed basically to run the story and talk more about it other than let's talk about Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who was now trying to shift blame on taking all the COVID patients, the elderly, and putting them into care homes such as this one, and where you had many of your homes, your rest homes, elder care centers, but whatever you want to call them. They had pretty much a clean bill of health. They were kind of COVID-free, shockingly. And then all of a sudden, you know, they bring in the infected COVIDs, and there's a die-off going on. And so a lot of elderly people died, coincidentally. And, of course, now some stretch of the imagination, it's all the president's fault. Now, I got to tell you, I don't see any difference between the guy doing the beatdown on the elderly man and the governor of New York. I just don't see any difference. I mean, Mr. Nipple Ring, by the way, I think he should be arrested. I think this is murder. I mean, and then they're, you know, the thing that's so ironic about this is that when you take a look at his brother, Chris Fredo. That guy says, so what? If you mention Fredo, he gets so unhinged, it's not even funny. And we saw that in this video. This guy had taken a Fredo, shows up in a bar someplace. And when he shows up in the bar, Fredo freaks out because the guy calls him Fredo. One of the guys calls him Fredo. So he challenges him. I mean, you got to talk about a thing. Fredo. You know, I don't get the eye-tie thing. I'm Irish and Scotch-Irish, so I don't get the whole eye-tie thing. And Fredo. Fredo doesn't mean anything to me. It certainly does to Fredo. I mean, Chris Cuomo. But, you know, these two guys joking back and forth about the COVID virus. And I don't see, and I said this at the time,
when I was watching Fredo in the basement, because Fredo said he had the COVID virus, you know, I had the COVID virus. I had it. You know, I was sick. I mean, I could tell you, I was sicker than a dog. And when I called it, this is in early January, when I called the doctor, he said, stay home, drink fluids, do this, do that, you know. And just so happened, you know, one of the things I realized early on, because I had some, but the tonic water that has quinine in it, I did not realize the value of that. And I had a bottle of it. And it's one of these kind of things, it was in the refrigerator, been there forever, you know. And I was grubbing around because I was really sick. I said, I didn't have any soda. I had nothing. And I found that bottle, and I started drinking from it. I thought, wow, it really was good. I didn't realize at the time it had quinine and the relationship to quinine and that. Okay, now that took me till the end of end of January, early February to kind of cure from that. And a lot of people have actually even made comment, you know, just recently, man, remember how sick you were? I said, do I remember how sick? I was sick, legitimately. It's serious. I get that. So don't tell me it's not serious. I get the seriousness. But is it out here in California or in other places like you'd find any more so than the flu? And the answer to that is no. And, of course, understanding virology and the biology behind it, having taught it for years, by the way, it was pretty easily seen by me, this whole pandemic, to be a fraud from the get-go. And we called it up as a fraud, a hoax. And, of course, this is the fourth attack on Donald Trump, plain and simple. And it's an attack on all of us, though, and what they're trying to do. Now, that brings me to Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom and the rest of the dictators. And this is a story that's really gotten pretty big out here in California. I'm checking on my timing here. It's kind of interesting in California because we do have a real dictator problem in California. And the real problem out here in California is Gavin Newsom has brought authorities since he signed on with his emergency powers. And we didn't quite realize it until we started sussing it out about why is Gavin Newsom still continuing on with these emergency orders and then following through and being very aggressive and being very, very hostile. And we found out that in doing some deeper research, and I want to really thank Peggy Hall, who we played her video, even yesterday we played some of her video, and come to find out, California Globe, Katie Grimes unit group. I got to get the commercial in here. We come back. We'll let you know how Gavin Newsom has been able to continue to be a dictator, and it's open, unbridled dictatorship in California. Oh boy, here we go. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar. And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking about how Gavin Newsom has managed to consolidate power and be powerful. And it started, and again, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, about the progression of power and how it's been manipulated so that California has all this dictatorial power. Reynolds versus Sims, you're talking about how they've managed to change the Constitution over 600 times. You've got now the 11-month legislature, which came about as early as 1966. Jess Unruh, that's the guy who was behind all that. And then moving forward now, you've got the top two. You've got that was all foisted upon everybody by the Republicans. You got the gerrymandering of the districts and so on. So the possibilities of something going wrong, like along the lines of a dictatorship, is like 100% assured. And that's where we're at right now. We've got a dictatorship, and they're using the COVID virus as the excuse for, literally, as the excuse to have the dictator start to rule as a dictator. And that's what Gavin Newsom's doing. He's ruling as a dictator. And, you know, this is the thing that is really, really important for people to understand. This COVID virus is not about the COVID virus. It's about establishing a dictatorship in California and then hence the rest of the nation. That's what it's about. So a person who had to play a very critical role in that was Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown, who was first elected in 1976, to be the governor in 1976. That was a problem, guys. That was a problem. He was the governor in 1976. Maybe it was 74. It could have been 74. That's correct. So in 1974, he gets elected to be governor. Very progressive. He is the son of Edmund G. Brown. And Edmund G. Brown was very close to the Pelosi's. Shocking. The D'Alessandro family, which is Nancy Pelosi. And they're from Baltimore, Maryland, and as corrupt as it comes, you look at the lineage as from Nancy Pelosi, and you know that Nancy Pelosi's as corrupt as they possibly can be from the D'Alessandro family and the mafia, and of course Maryland. So they come west, they bring their racketeering to the west, and they team up with Edmund G. Brown. And Edmund G. Brown does a lot of building and constructing. It's wide open for California. And he does do a lot of positive things, actually. But the corruption is replete. And, of course, it's all been corrupt money that's brought us to this point. Now, Jerry Brown, his son, is very young in 1974. becomes governor for 8 years. Interesting. 8 years. And so the thing that develops is he brings in his radical ideas about, I think it was, maybe it was 1972. I'll have to go back and look at my history book. I think maybe it was 1972. But he brings in his radical environmentalism, which, by the way, was starting to really rise up. Starting in 1970, you had your very first Earth Day. And, of course, environmentalism was starting to tell everybody, oh, shocking, we're going to have global cooling and we're going to have glaciers all over the place by 1980. And I'll never forget, I was still going to college. I was a radical environmentalist, all because of Jerry Brown and his folks. I became more radicalized, actually, until I realized, you know, this is like communism. I was teaching one day, and I recognized some of the stuff that was coming out from some of the sources I was using to teach environmental science, which I was teaching. And I said, you know, this is just, there wasn't too much fact. It was seems a lot of conjecture. The data wasn't correct. And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to stop teaching that. And I did. And, of course, that gave birth to Al Gore later on in the 90s. Because where did the glaciers go, by the way? They never showed up, right? Because it was false science. We called it out then. Then, of course, Al Gore comes. It's global warming, right? So Jerry Brown symbolizes that. But it's kind of interesting. In 1990, they changed the California Constitution again. And this is the iteration where Jerry Brown gets in, because they say there's term limits, and they're term limiting the governors and all the different offices, and they say the governors can only be elected for 2 terms. And, okay, fine, 8 years total. But it only applies from 1990 November on. Now, what that did is it left a window of opportunity for Jerry Brown to come back for another term. And he did in 2010. And in 2015, he helps to fashion a law to modify the powers of the governor during a crisis or an emergency. So he has never-ending power and authority now since 2015, when Jerry Brown brought that forward. And today we're living under that with a tyrant totalitarian in Gavin Newsom. And everybody's pushing back, and everybody's thinking, well, he only has limited power. That's the way it used to be, but now it's not that way. And a couple of legislators in California's legislature, Kevin Kiley from the Roseville area, and, of course, James Gallagher from my community, have put forward a piece of legislation to try and get that power away from the governor again, so that we can get back to our happy little circumstances in this country, right? Or in the state. People are pushing back all over because people don't recognize the fact that this guy still does have the power and the authority, and we have to take it away from him one way or another. So the challenge is, are they going to be able to pass legislation to take it back away from him or not? I'm telling you, we don't have the horsepower to make that happen, quote, yet. And in talking to the staffers down there, I did spend quite a bit of time yesterday after the show and talking to a number of staffers in Sacramento, Republican and Democrat. And this is what we yielded. In the Republican side of things, everybody detests Gavin Newsom. Of course, there's not that many Republicans down there in the Assembly or the Senate. That's a problem. But even Democrats are going, there's something wrong with the system. I'm going, boy, howdy. And they said, there's something wrong with the fact that we're Democrats and he's going against us and he's telling us what to do. I said, oh, boy, howdy. I said, don't you recognize a dictatorship when you see it? Because that's exactly what we have. So you're having Democrats now that are having second thoughts. Is it too soon for them or too late for them to do something is the question. It's too soon. I don't think the Democrats feel the heat yet from the fact that there's no money. And this is the big deal going forward. There's no money for them to play around with now. And since there's no money, guess what? They're going to start feeling that heat real soon. And I suspect the heat will really, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait probably through the summer, through the end of July, before these people really come around and realize we've got to have we've got to have a resolution that takes away the power from the governor. Now, to get him to sign, it's another issue, huh? But I have a feeling with the fact they have no money, you might actually have a new governor. That's what I'm talking about. You might actually have a new governor who might end up being somebody that would probably do the right thing. You see, enter Donald Trump, the president of the United States, who has much bigger authorities than Gavin Newsom. And he does have the power to replace the governor. So I say, keep up the pressure in the legislature. Let's see how many Democrats will come around to the sanity of it all. Because in talking to their staffs, they're pissed. Well, and they should be. But, you know, they brought it upon themselves, these Democrats. Democracy is here. And a Republican form of government is dead in California. That's why New California is doing what we're doing. We want and we are demanding that the president and the federal government protect us from domestic violence, protect us from invasion, and guarantee to us a Republican form of government, which is Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which we do not have now. We have a dictatorship here, and it's time to end the dictatorship before it gets worse. We will offer and we will create and have a better state. It will be a win-win for California and New California and the nation. A win-win-win. That's what we intend to do. And we're doing it, by the way. Six constitutional conventions. Declaration of Independence. We're winning. This is winning in New California. People need to wake up to that. And they are. They are recognizing the fact that New California is the only way out to stop these totalitarians and bring representation back to the United States, which we're doing. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff done here today. In 1 hour, my goodness. In 1 hour, we have managed to enlighten the world about our map and talk to you about what's going on in California and the reasons why there's a dictatorship, and it's continuing. It's not stopping. And what we can do about it. The other part of it I didn't mention, but what we can do about it is continue lawsuits and challenging. Now, you businesses out there, as we have found with the eateries here in the two counties that I'm in, that are around is Yuba County and Sutter County, and even Butte County, the eateries and restaurants have been challenging, especially the Alcohol Bureau, ABC, because they want to take their license away because they've opened up. They don't have the social distancing. That's all kind of worn down. They aren't playing that little game. And so they're being challenged right now by these restaurateurs. And what's happening is that we're finding that the health department and alcohol department, what they're doing in what they are doing is they are using old antiquated laws to enforce these policies. And one of the laws that was foisted upon them, the reason why they were trying to pull their license is they were accusing some of these restaurants of being brothels and using an 1858 law. Well, they just had a hearing a week ago with about 12 restaurants. And after the third hearing, they packed up their bags and went home, and they wrote letters back to the restaurants and said, you can open up with alcohol, no problems. Thank you very much. There is no law behind their threats. That's the point. So challenge them. I encourage every business to challenge them. If you're a hair salon, challenge them. All the way across the board, challenge them. Get those bureaucracies, these unelected bureaucrats who have no legal authority at all, that are exercising and usurping power and foisting it upon you. Challenge them. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.